All lines are now bridged.
Great, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the USCDI Task Force meeting. Today we'll have continued discussion on phase two recommendations. So let me officially begin by taking roll. Stephen Lane.
Present.
Leslie Kelly Hall.
Present.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hans Budendijk.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovano.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Jim Jarris. Kim Kawamoto.
Morning.
John Kilbourn.
Good morning.
And Les Leonard is out today. Clint McDonald. Aaron Meary.
Good morning.
Brett Oliver. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears.
Here.
Sasha Termont. Andrew Truscott.
He said he would be late.
Okay. Cheryl Turney.
Sure. I'm here. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Daniel Freeman.
Good morning.
And Denise Webb.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. And I'll hand it over to Leslie.
Good morning, everyone. And thanks for great comments and discussion in the last meeting. We learned a lot from each of you and also from HL7. Since that meeting, before I go on, I'll just see if let you know about the past meeting notes from last week. They haven't been posted yet. They should be posted today. So we would encourage you to reflect them and take a look at them today as they get posted. Next slide, please. I think we've got that nailed. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. So last week we've been discussing how we would work on prioritization. And as a reminder, we thought we'd start there first before we'd go on to the other recommendations in the submission cycle due in September. So we've been iterating on several different ideas. We're largely informed by HL7. I thought that was terrific. And since then, Stephen and I met with the ONC leadership team and Mickey to get further guidance about how we can be effective and also and stay within our guide rails, but also push to have those rails a little bit more rubber and to offer ways to have both improved process and as a result, improved outcome. We've heard loud and clear about some of the desires of this task force as reflected in our recommendations, but also as we consider our evaluation criteria and prioritization criteria as we go forward. Stephen, do you want to add anything before we go on?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we had a very productive meeting with the ONC team and really got what we felt was very, very helpful guidance. I think that one of the key points from both that meeting as well as the discussions with HL7 are really that there is flexibility here, that there are opportunities for advocacy and, in fact, encouragement from both HL7 and ONC to identify categories, you know, data classes, data elements that warrant particular attention that should be prioritized. I mean, everybody has a finite capacity for work. I mean, HL7 can only move so many implementation guides forward at a time. ONC, you know, feels that the advancements in USCDI should be measured so as not to overwhelm the industry. All parties are interested in assistance in identifying the true high priorities within every level, even, you know, not only within level two, as we've been discussing, but within level one, within the comment level, and even the process of having people submit new data classes and elements into the OnDeck system. So there's really an enthusiasm for bringing ideas forward, for nurturing those ideas that are not yet fully mature and ready for nationwide exchange, and also for highlighting individual opportunities within each of the levels for advancement by both HL7 and ONC. So I think Leslie's going to walk us through some fresh ideas that many of you have contributed, Abby, Mark, others, as to ways that we could capture those priorities, ways that we could influence the prioritization process. So again, I think very fruitful meetings, and I'm excited to see how we sort of pull together all the ideas of this task force to turn into recommendations back to HITAC. Wanting to remind you that our HITAC recommendations for task two, primarily 2B and C, but we may get some 2A in there as well, are going to be presented at the HITAC on June 9th, which means that we really just have a few weeks to pull together our ideas so we can draft those up, probably needing to get those to HITAC, you know, the week before. So in the first week of June, we're going to want to have our thoughts really fully baked on 2B and C so that we can bring those over. And then we're going to have additional time later in the spring and the summer to focus in on 2A and task three, which I think where we'll be able to go back and look at a lot of our earlier suggestions about what we think are priorities for version three. And here again, we've really been invited, really given an open door to participate, contribute suggestions for version three priorities, and I would say version three and four. I mean, I think that we should, if there are things, you know, down deep in, we have a new metaphor, by the way. We're calling the OnDeck system the nest,
yes.
And the idea is that the little eggs get planted in the nest, and then they get nurtured, they get fed, they get taken care of, and then they grow to the point that they can then be hatched into the light of USCDI. So if you know, if there are things in the nest that are down lower that we don't really anticipate will be ready for version three, both HL7 in particular, but also ONC really want us to highlight those so that they can get the love that they need and mature to see to take flight, if you will. We're gonna work this metaphor really hard.
Yeah, you can see that we went to chicken and egg as many times in our discussions and also in these meetings last week, and we continued with that metaphor and ended up with the OnDeck process as the nest, and it actually really worked because the nest is where everything is hatched. And so in order to be considered and to grow into full maturity, we start by placing things in the OnDeck process. And so that our job is to review, consider, and move things along. So we were very, very encouraged by all of this. So the next slide, please.
And Les, before we dig in, I'm reminded that Matt Ron, the team, is here standing in for Al. I know Matt from a number of ONC discussions. And Matt, did you have anything you wanted to throw out before we dive in?
No, I'm good. I think everything you've mentioned so far was along the lines of our discussion and everything. So thank you. Looking forward to hearing the discussion.
Thanks. So one of the things we really got clarity on in our meeting, as we have all been struggling with how do we prioritize in a framework that's really about maturity. And so we have a distinctly different way to consider priority and maturity. So maturity is about something that is quantitative. It's something that we are actually looking at and evaluating the maturity of a particular data element. Is it ready for prime time? This is more of an objective review. And these things that OMC had developed are spot on. Maturity is a different idea than actually priority. And I see, before we get started, did Aaron, and did you have something you wanted to add, or Clem?
I did, actually. I wanted to offer up a real-world example and a potential just a brainstorm nugget for all of us to think about. So we are embarking here at UT on a massive equity type of exercise, looking for inequities in healthcare. How can we get better? And of course, at some point, people wisen up and go, oh, well, let's look at data standards and look at demographics. And so I literally got an inquiry from one of our surgeons last night in our internal medicine group. He said, Aaron, do you know of any resources or standards for demographic and language data collection? I was like, well, sure do. Point at USCDI. And so we looked at version 1 and version 2 that's posted, but, you know, coming soon, which is perfect. And it was another question of, okay, well, it's interesting that gender identity is so underdeveloped and et cetera, you know, racial and ethnic information. So my thought of pondering, right, for this group to consider is, as we look at prioritization of data elements, is it possible to look at it also through a lens of what could help us reduce inequities across the healthcare landscape and begin to shed light and highlight areas of, probably unintended disparity, but because the data standards at some point were only now really started getting into the meat of SDOH and others, is that a potential lens to look at and prioritize? So beyond the maturity of a data element, like you were just speaking about, does it also help advance the cause of leveling the playing field and opening access to all?
I think you'll be pleased with our initial phases. I think we're starting to address just that, Aaron. And I think that the sense of priority as something different versus maturity gives us a chance to have two lenses on the same work and gives us a chance to really respond to the moment of the day or to the need of the community. We've had a health crisis. We all had to react differently in data and standards. Now, that's a great lesson. So we need to be able to accommodate both maturity and a priority. Clem, did you have something to add before we go to the next slide?
So this business for the one just discussed, my understanding is that there is a cooked set of questions for that. So it is mature, but maybe people can't agree on it, and that's another story. I mean, we can't mm-hmm. solve that. But that's mm-hmm. been out for a year or two. I forget right. what group that did it. We talked about it at one of these committee meetings. So I don't think it's a maturity problem, but it could be there's political disagreement, and then I think we're screwed. We can't force those agreements if that's what it is.
Well, I think let's go through this and go to the next slide. Mark, did you have something to comment before we go on?
Just a question on this. On the prior slide, it said no changes. I just wondered what those words meant. Because the slide that comes after that I've looked at suggests that we're actually brainstorming.
So yeah. What we've ended up with is this is as is. These are maturity standards as is with no changes. And much of the things we've talked about in terms of maturity, with the exception of Clem's comment about there might not be agreement, right? Maturity, this is pretty quantitative. It's very much more black and white. And so we can ask for suggestions, but let's get through to the next, because I think majority of the time we're talking about priority.
Before we leave maturity, I want to just highlight Mark's point. Mark, I think it's a suggestion that I think we're making as co-chairs, that, you know, we've dug into this. The one concrete suggestion that we've heard was really from Hans in the upper right-hand corner, considering changing that or to an and. I mean, one could raise the bar with regard to maturity requirements. One could lower the bar. I think what we found here in our first set of recommendations was that there, you know, are some items that made it into level 2, but that yet still HL7 and others feel that there's more work yet to be done. And we identified some as really requiring the completion of implementation guides or applicable standards before they be added. So while I think that one could argue that these lines might be adjusted to either raise them or lower them, I think on the whole, they kind of hit a sweet spot. I mean, I think a lot of ONC put a lot of thought into this. And I think Leslie and I, at this point at least, are of the opinion that these are pretty good, that something really should meet the criteria of level 2 before being advanced to USCDI, and that even that, in some cases, leaves a gap you know, that we as a task force and ONC in responding to our recommendations may feel needs to be closed. So there's this dynamic discussion between HL7 and ONC now about how and whether they can advance things that are not yet, you know, truly mature, even beyond the criteria for getting into level two. So I think we're just saying, we think this is pretty good, that there's not a strong argument for moving the bar higher or lower, and that we wanted to focus on the prioritization piece, because I think there's a real opportunity and a real ask from both HL7 and ONC for us to contribute there. So I didn't want to sort of blow off your comment. We have talked about this, but unless you know you or somebody else feels strongly, our general sense at this point is that this is pretty solid.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Leslie. I don't disagree that maturity is important. I thought I saw on the next slide a recognition that sometimes high national priority might
Correct.
Be a factor alongside somewhat lesser maturity, and that
Correct.
Sort of balancing everything together, we would still consider going forward. And so that's why I was trying to understand how this all fit together. So maybe I should just stop and listen.
So what we're trying to say, and I've said it poorly, is that instead of just having a single or unilateral approach that says maturity is the only lens that we look at, we're also adding another lens of priority. And this, let me give an example. Abby brought up a comment about there is already a huge exchange going on in SDOH, and she has to serve many different states. So she has a large exchange and a high priority, but no standards exist. So it would be a low maturity, but a high priority and a high change number of exchange. So that in itself could move a definition to a level two or beyond. So we're simply trying to insert into this prioritization criteria or in our overall work, both the idea of priority and maturity. So once we have this, we will use this to test it against other criteria that we consider. Let me get through this first, and then we'll talk about the other recommendations we wanted to have you guys see. So in prioritization, we have something that addresses the significant gaps or concepts. Now, in this case, to make a level two, it must represent using technology standards or element of something that's validated, technical specifications, and addresses the gap in care, coordination, or transition. Aligned with existing ONC certification or CMS initiatives. So this is, you've got a regulatory initiative like the quality initiatives that we keep hearing about. Right, there's a definition, a vocabulary, but it must be used to repurpose to meet regulatory needs. So this gets to the fact that there could be vocabulary, there could be collection methods, but they can be or must be repurposed to meet regulatory needs. This is back to Clem's comment that said, you know, sometimes we can have a narrative. Sometimes we can put this through and repurpose something to meet this need. So this starts to align with that idea of repurposing. The modest technical standards is that some technical standards exist and they can be repurposed or expanded. Efforts are mature and use cases prevalent, like an op note. This is you've done one and you might have many, many more. So the idea here is the low-hanging fruit. And we heard this from HL7. I think we heard this from Hans and also Clem that said, sometimes once you've gone through all the standards work, like notes, you can just keep adding all of those notes. And this is trying to get to that. So it's a higher use case or a higher priority because it's something that can be repurposed quite easily. The ability to have a modest aggregate lift for vendor development and implementation. This is current functionality and interoperability exists, can be expanded. Some efforts are underway and the use case is prevalent. A data addressing equity and disparities, it might be represented by terminology or an element or a technical barrier, but it directly supports national initiatives to improve healthcare quality, care coordination, and disparities. So this is like that kind of a roadmap item that standards community could see and say, oh my gosh, that's coming. Let's respond. Let's make sure that we meet at the same point in time when USCDI is ready, our standards are ready. Beta supporting underserved stakeholder groups. Now, this could be both the clinical underserved or SDOH underserved of any other type. But it pertains to a large group of patients or majority of patients and their care partners and care team members requiring its use and addresses need for data underserved. This could be something that all of us, for instance, are underserved in advanced directives being prevalent in the industry or prevalently exchanged. So it's quite well used, but still needs and is underserved, it serves an underserved need, but there has to be ability to move that forward. And then data supporting public health might be represented using terminology or standards, but it must be accelerated in response to public health needs. So this is not only a roadmap, but it's a roadmap with dynamite. It says, hey, this has got to be done right now because there's a significant public need. And then meets national importance, has moderate to high technical and standards uplift. This might be a timeline-driven national imperative within a two-year horizon. It might be something like a quality initiative is undertaken, it's put out at a future date. How do we go to meet that date? So what we attempted to do with these prioritization is take existing comments and try to come up with a framework that we could then use in our prioritization work. I see Clem has his hand up.
Yeah.
Clem? Clem, I think you're on mute.
No, I'm not.
There you go. Now
Clem.
We hear you.
Go ahead.
So I think they've screwed up. So they had back in the fall, they had, I don't know, 30 questions, 40, whatever it was. They had it done, the Gabby group, and they all have LOINC codes. So it's kind of ready, but now they're getting all this more complicated thing about using the other resources and figuring out how do you really use them? How do you make people put in the stuff you want to put them in? If they can't took it a step at a time, and we'd be done. And all these states are using this kind of thing. There's a thing
right.
called prepare. What is, you know, we have a disconnect here. So I think we need to try to tamp down some of the standards groups' needs, the perceived need to make a whole new, you know, user's guide for every little thing. If we did that with lab tests, we'd never be done. You know, we'd do one for CBC, one for urine analysis. So we somehow, I don't know how we can introduce that idea back to them. Just here's one which is it's a survey instrument. All right, here's a general structure. Anything you want to put in, you know, you can put in, you know, if it doesn't kill the system, you know, in terms of work.
So, Clem, let me respond for a sec. So thank you. I know you're what I love about you, Clem, is you don't let us drop things until we really resolve them. So I think your comment about the SDOH and like the prepare questions is a good one. I think that what you're identifying is a number of things. So there is the work being done in the community. There is how ONC evaluates that against the levels. And then there is the prioritization. And I think that, you know, what ONC did was they looked at what was submitted by Gravity and others around SDOH, and they identified a short list of items as level two. And then we have called those out for inclusion. And then HL7 is working literally, you know, in lockstep in trying to evaluate whether and how soon they can include those. So while it isn't the entirety of perhaps the items in the prepare instrument, it's still, you know, it clearly would move us down that path. I mean, I think the point that you make so eloquently is that sort of, you know, once it's baked into a standard, we should just take it all lock, stock, and barrel. And that, you know, and I think that's, you know, that point has been made made well, and I think it's been heard. There have been a number of folks who have opined that, you know, once you start a data class, you might as well include all the data elements at the same time. It may have some benefits for the developers, for the implementers, et cetera. So I think you've made a really good point there. I think at this point, though, we are still dependent on ONC, you know, in their wisdom and based on their calculus, to determine which data elements in particular are ready. And I think that we have to go back to the process within OnDeck and within the USCDI site and invite stakeholders to add comments. I mean, it's those public comments, it's those discussions that inform the ONC decision-making process. And we're going to talk in a bit about how often and at what cadence ONC should be changing the levels. So I think the argument you're making is that there are SDOH items that got leveled a little lower and therefore were not open for consideration in V2. And, you know, but perhaps, you know, we should be looking at a more regular cycle of re-leveling and reanalysis and responding to, almost done, and responding to the, you know, all the input that people are providing publicly. So, I mean, that's where I think this fits. So go ahead, Clem.
Well, I agree with all you said, but I think the mistake that has been made was adding in general purpose resources from FHIR as part of the SDOH. It dragged it all down. They really don't know how to use that for SDOH. That's why they have to do some details in terms of the HL7 guide. I mean, so you now, you know, you record problems. So what's new? Well, they got to specialize something else and how to do it to get SDOH in there. That hasn't been done. If they just stayed with the questionnaire, they'd be done. So I don't know.
I think what you're saying, so Clem, and I hear it, and I think that's really valid. Is there's a lot of disconnects here, and I think we acknowledge that. But the one you're talking about is kind of that initial assessment that says, what do we have that can move this along, and where is there a gap, or can something be repurposed? And I attempted to gather those thoughts in this prioritization to talk about repurposing. But that might be, I'd love to hear, get something from you that talks about that more generally, because what we can do is say, we acknowledge in this prioritization process that this data element or requested data element at a level 2 has some emerging work. However, we also acknowledge that emerging work might take longer than the need, and therefore repurposing should be considered. So we could have a statement of review, but I don't think we can go into HL7 and say, hey, HL7, what do you mean? Why aren't you using a questionnaire form? You could do this all the time. So I think that would be in a comment or some other process. So I think we hear you. We'd love to see how to change these words in the prioritization that reflects a bias towards repurposing for new criteria rather than a new factory for those things.
Abby has
her hand up.
Yeah,
Abby?
I have quite a few things. I have quite a few comments related to all of this. I'm sure that's not surprising, but the first thing I would say, I'm going to respond to what Clem is saying and what you just said, Leslie. The reason why we did not make a recommendation to take PREPARE as an entity, which is not what our recommendation and our letter stated as a request to the ONC, is because, one, it's a lot of work to collect all of that data in the field, and not all of it is proving to be as useful. It doesn't all have the same value on the collection and on the impact of the data collection. So there is some value for those of us that have been collecting this data for 4 years and 5 years to actually hear what we are learning through peer-reviewed research related to this data and the challenges of collecting the data in the field around what is most valuable. And as we're turning on social service record locators all over the country, like we have connections with Aunt Bertha, we have connections with Unite Us, we are building the connection to NowPow. What they need as what is going to move in those transactions that where we're moving that data is not the whole prepare. So there's no point in us taking the whole prepare and requiring it across the country if it doesn't all have the same value. And because it's a lot of work and it costs money, it's an administrative burden. So I wanted to put that out there. The second thing that I wanted to say was I want to back up to something about maturity conversation. The challenge we have, I think, on some of this conversation is that the people sitting at the tables that are influencing a lot of this work are not necessarily as versed around what's going on with social service organizations or with predominantly safety net patients. Our voices are not as prevalent as the commercial population, and that's fine. It's not good or bad. There's no judgment in that. It just is. So as we talk about maturity and we talk about where things are at in the process, the people at the table are speaking to what they know, and they don't know. And their knowledge is not as strong in these areas. And that's the thing that I keep trying to, in my head, come back to is how do we make that different? And how do we create criteria? And I think you did a really nice job of trying to find some balance. But I would like to caution us around the process of the maturity question around this, because it's an immature field. And the people that do have the information, we're talking as though people aren't doing this. There are a lot of people doing this. They're just not sitting at the tables where we're actually having these conversations. So it seems like it's less prevalent than what it really is. The last thing I want to say is we also need to be careful because the systems a lot of these organizations are using do not have the maturity to handle more complicated data collection and movement. So if you look at a social work, if you work at a very small mental health clinic that, you know, they weren't funded with the ARRA money, they don't necessarily have interoperable systems in all of these cases. It's like the public health system. The infrastructure is not as advanced. So it is important to use a smaller set. I'm very supportive of using a smaller set and moving that smaller set forward. And then my very last thing would be, thanks for hanging with me, on the data supporting underserved stakeholder groups, my request would be to strike the word majority. Majority in our country is commercial. It's not a minority population.
Okay.
Or an at-risk population. So, okay, thank you.
That's great, Abby. Can we go back a slide, please? So one of the things that is kind of the number of stakeholders or the maturity of contact exchange. So you mentioned that people are already exchanging this data, but we don't have the standards nailed that we should.
Right.
And that's, I think, an example of where you might have maturity. There's current exchange at a level 2. There's certainly between more than 4 organizations. The standards are immature, but the priority is high. So that's why we want to eventually, we might even get to, you know, some sort of grid that accommodates all of these. And so a mechanism that might visually depict that's a low maturity of standards, a high exchange rate. It's in production on 2 or more different systems, but the differences are what's making it hell. And so we need to come up, we have a high priority associated with that to align and come up with standards. So I think we're hearing you. It's just how to best accommodate both of these thoughts. But I've got notes down, and I'm going to attempt to do that. I'd like to also open up, I think, Grace, did you have a question? Maybe not. Okay. So Yes, and Cheryl has her hand up. So Grace, go ahead, and then Cheryl.
I just want to point out in the chat, so Stephen had put in the link for the opportunity to provide submissions and all stakeholders can submit. Coming from the patient and care partner perspective and looking at the submission process, and I know we will be going through that as well, one of my concerns and really connecting to Abby's point is it's a complex manner to have to submit all of this. Some people may need, from the general public and a lay person who does not have the privilege of all the information that we do and doing the work that we do, may need support in completing their submission. Would there be a way for, I don't know, someone on the task force to be able to help someone? Is there a help submit a submission group? How do we better support the public? Because there are questions there that people may not answer or know how to answer, but with some guidance would be able to.
So Grace, that's great. That may not be on a grid, but as a process request, how do we enlighten, educate, and encourage public comment from those that may not have the expertise or involvement that we've had? So that could be a separate recommendation, because the public, we are representing the public world as well, but we might not know what those needs are. So encouraging some sort of, primer for those who need it as an education step, we can add that as well.
Cheryl's hand is
comments?
Up.
Yes. Hi, thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say that I also agree with what Grace has mentioned. I know that there's been a number of folks that I've been working with in the payer community who, you know, sort of wanted to support the gravity recommendations, but weren't exactly sure how it was best to do that, especially since they weren't the initiator of the recommendation in the first place. But also I wanted to say, to go back to the slide that you were just on, that I really like this approach of leveling and looking at the different, not only maturity, but also priority, because I think it does provide a better discussion point for this group and then others to really understand what's the driving need. So I want to say that I really support that, and I like this approach.
Thanks, Cheryl. And let me just add that that one of the things that we heard from Steve Posnack is really that priority can be identified at every level. And I think this is really important. You know, there can be things down at comment, level one, level two, that meet these priority criteria. So these are not simply to be applied to level two data elements and classes. That what this does is it identifies high priority items wherever they are in the process of maturing, so that everyone can give them the love that they need, you know, whether it's HL7, whether it's the community, et cetera. Because I think, and certainly I suspect that in the version 3 submission cycle that is open and will probably really accelerate after the July announcement, that we're going to go, you know, we're going to have hundreds of items that are in the nest. So this prioritization is not really meant to move things between levels. I mean, maturity is still going to be required, but it's meant to identify those things that communities can organize around, that HL7 can do their work on, et cetera, to really mature them in an accelerated manner.
Mm-hmm. I see some more comments in the chat. Are there others that have specific recommendations or what we've left out? Any other comments, discussion?
This
you know,
is
one
Abby,
thing that I think we need to add.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Abby. Okay, let me just a quick idea, which is simply that we've been using this term data underserved, and I think we need to add some specificity to that. You know, what are going to be the criteria? You know, one shouldn't be able to just say, oh, you know, I'm data underserved. I mean, what kind of data might be brought forward to to validate the claim that a certain stakeholder or a certain use case is representing the data underserved. I think at some point we're going to want to grapple with that. Sorry, Andy.
And I think that's a really good point, because the data underserved could be a stakeholder group entirely underserved, but standards that are mature and everything's exchanged, right? So how do we could add a stakeholder, and that might actually add some complexity, but not a lot. So this is a tough thing to define. It is we're working on it, but we are hearing. I'm hearing all of your comments. I see, Hans, you have a comment, I talked over someone, and I can't remember who it was. I'm sorry. Abby, is that you?
Yeah. If I could just, you had asked about the comments. Yeah. I sent this note yesterday, but I think we just are asking for a consideration related to some language, just small modifications. It's not dramatically changing the intent. Not changing the intent almost at all, but the language would be, we think, a little bit more supportive to the at-risk patient population. And so I wanted you to know I put that in the comments.
Okay, super. Thank you, Abby. I see Hans' comment. Did you want to add anything?
Just adding to the note, I like your suggestion of a visual representation of source, that it's easy to understand where a data element class fits along these lines of priorities and maturity. And if we go that direction, which I would support, then whether a level is an and or an or, how many buckets are, is not as critical, because you can have a good, clear understanding by data element, where does it sit. In certain areas that might get too complicated for here, but some spider diagrams that along agreed to set of axes indicates where it sits. And if everything is only outside, then that's the most mature, highest priority. Then that can help as well. So something visual would be very helpful to get quick insight.
Great. Thank you. I agree. I think we have another slide here to discuss. Oh, this is the last slide. Okay, so it didn't make it in the slide. So we did have some specific recommendations about the frequency of looking at the leveling and whose responsibility that should be, or is it combined? And then we also had a question about the frequency of review of the NEST. So the first question is, we have put forward an idea that would allow for this group to look each time we go through a new versioning cycle to go through and look at the current level definition. And this would be an opportunity to contribute to our knowledge to those leveling processes, so that in the event that we do see recommendations that need to be made, that would become part of our recommendations to HITACH. So to, I think, Abby's point, those in the field might see something that is a different definition and needs to advance beyond the current leveling process. So a suggestion we have is that leveling process include a contribution by this committee. So that would be one starting point for us. And then the other starting point, which would be before the leveling, is taking a look at the on deck to see whether that NEST needs to advance to a level one or a level two, or comment level one or level two. So there's two questions for the group. Do you support this idea of having our task force included, both deliberate review of on deck and deliberate contribution to leveling? And then also the next question is, do we want to encourage or recommend a new cadence for ONC consideration of leveling and on deck? So first question is, how do you guys feel about including a deliberate review and contribution for on deck and leveling?
By whom?
By our group. We would be providing comments, looking at the leveling process, and contributing to that as part of a recommendation.
Well, but again, I don't know that we, you know, this is just a task force, right? I mean, we are not prepared to actually do the work. We are going to make recommendations to HITECH that will then make recommendations to ONC. So I think that if we feel that there needs to be more resource dedicated to the leveling and prioritization process, if we think that there needs to be a change to the timeline, or certainly to the criteria themselves, I think those are fair game for us.
Mm-hmm. Is there general support of that?
I think so. It gets very complicated otherwise. We don't know who really is in charge. Is it us or I think ANC is in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yep, ONC is in charge. We're trying to make sure that our voices are included in their process, and as part of a recommendation, we would then say, this needs to be additionally resourced. And we would also encourage that to be done on a cadence that's prescribed.
Now, I think it's important to realize that this diagram that we're showing, the top four items are really those that the ONC has in place. We could certainly tweak the language connected to those as appropriate. The bottom four, equity, underserved, public health use case, and national priorities or imperatives, those are the things that we are suggesting as additions. To inform the prioritization schema. And these really came out of the suggestions of this group and the discussions that we've been having. So I think, yeah, Abby has offered some specific language. Abby, which row does your language fit on?
The specific language just goes back one slide to the use case.
Oh, to the leveling?
Mm-hmm. And it speaks to level one and level two definitions you have there.
So which cells in particular?
Level one and level two. I would add the language that I put there in the chat. Let me see if I can read it here.
So you're on the lowest row, the use cases,
correct.
Number of stakeholders impacted. Okay.
Correct. So it says pertinent to many, but not most patients, providers, or events requiring its use. What we're suggesting is pertinent to many, but not most patients, providers, or relevant events, or used by few stakeholders or narrowly defined conditions or events if related to underserved patients or public health. I don't think it changes it dramatically, but I think it is a little more technically helpful for us.
So you're specifically in the cell of level one and use cases.
Yes.
Is that the cell you're focusing on?
Yes. Bottom, oh, middle.
Bottom,
and
middle.
Bottom,
okay.
Level one and level two.
Bottom right. Okay.
Yes.
So let's spend some time there, because so what you're saying is used by few stakeholders or supports a narrowly defined condition or event if related to these priority areas. So
right.
So saying that we're not, that you don't need to pertain to the majority to be able
right.
to make it into level, really it's level two that's most relevant here, because that's sort of the launch pad, right?
Right.
Okay, I get it now. I'm sorry. I needed to put your language into context. So that's lowering the bar. You know, and again, Hans earlier had the suggestion up in the upper right of changing the order to the end, which would be raising the bar. But I must say, I like what you're suggesting. It sort of brings the prioritization dimensions into the discussion. And I don't know if Andy's joined us. He hasn't yet. But, you know, he keeps our focus on the word core. You know, what does it mean for something to be core data? And, you know, there was a great thing that Steve Posnack, I think, was saying when we had our discussion with him the other day. And he had this metaphor where he said USCDI
is a horizontal bar that cuts across multiple use cases and stakeholders. And it, in his vision, at least, USCDI is not meant to be comprehensive. It's meant to drive consistency across our community and ecosystem, but not to include everything. And that, you know, individual stakeholders and their needs or individual use cases and their data requirements, he saw those more as vertical bars, and that the USCDI was meant to support all of them. I think that that's not inconsistent with what you're saying. What you're saying is that there is a stakeholder community, you know, this underserved community that doesn't need to be the majority, but still warrants consideration to push something for inclusion in the interest of, you know, advocacy or what was the word I was using last time? Affirmative action, you know, to support that. So curious what others think again, because I think making a change in the leveling is somehow more fundamental than making a change in the prioritization. Maybe not, but curious what others think about Abby's suggestion to modify, especially that lower right box where I think it's most relevant, to say that it doesn't need to be the majority, that it can be a priority item that drives it into level two.
And can I just make one more point on it before everybody comments? Is by definition, our data is not a majority. So right. I think what we're trying communicate in the additional languages, SOGI data or transgen, you know, they're just not going to be a majority, and therefore we have to protect and bring them forward in another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that
Grace?
You're starting to get to. Oh, go ahead, Grace.
Stephen and Leslie, if I may ask. As we discuss prioritization and standards for the short term, can you, I just genuinely don't know, what happens on October 6, 2022, when the full effectiveness and implementation of the information blocking rule happens? Does a metaphorical floodgate open everything come into play? Standards are not sure or not?
I'd say yes. You know, that data... and I think Jim Gergis raised this issue early on, that when all EHI is made available or, you know, through the support of the information blocking rules, clearly some of that will have more structure and supporting standards and will meet the criteria of inclusion in USCDI, and a lot of it won't. So there will be a floodgate of non-standardized data that our community and stakeholder groups will start to deal with. I don't know, Jim made the good point. You know, should we be suggesting certain items, you know, because, you know, once they start moving, they might even do more harm than good in the absence of this level of standardization. But again, I think that's a prioritization issue. And I think it's very consistent with the prioritization schema that that we see on the next slide, the orange slide. So I think that there's a great opportunity for either us or HITECH or, you know, any public commenter to identify those items that really we need this structure around, because it's going to start moving anyway. I hope that addresses your question.
Could I weigh in a bit?
Actually, Clem, just hold on for a sec, because Mark has his hand up. Mark, do you want to weigh in on this instead of typing it, or
you're on mute, Mark?
Thank you. If you go back a slide, I'm wondering. I guess this goes to Abby's point. The last row. Level two, level one, level two cells, the phrase requiring its use. I'm realizing that I read that as sort of being a way to refer to subsets of all patients nationwide or all providers nationwide or all events nationwide. that it was just those that required its use. But I don't know, I'm realizing, I don't know if ONC means it that way, if ONC is using it that way. So it's a, I guess it's a clarification question. Wherever that fits,
Matt,
in the conversation.
Matt, do you want to take a stab at that, Ron?
Can you ask that question again? Sorry.
I'll try to rephrase it and see if I got it right, Mark. So in this lower right box, pertains to majority of patients, providers, or events requiring its use. So clearly we know what it means to apply to the majority of patients or providers. But when we talk about events requiring its use, it might be a rare event. It might be an event, it might be a minority event, but the data pertains to the majority of those events, even if they are minority. Or are we saying that it has to be a majority event to qualify here? And you may not know the answer to this, but what do you mean by that? Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I wondered if requiring its use applied not only to events in the way you described, but also to patients and providers. So it could be a limitation on all three.
I see, yeah. So the providers,
I don't know.
It might just be transplant surgeons, you know, who require the use of this piece of data. They are not the majority of the providers, but they are the ones requiring its use. Good point.
Yeah, no. So, you know, when you're talking about pertains to the majority of patients, providers, or events requiring its use. So I would, let me get back to you on that. I'll write that down and just to confirm, because I don't want to say anything that takes you down a path that we shouldn't be going down. So let me.
That's totally fair, Matt. Yeah, thank you. But I think, Mark, you make a really good point. And you know, there, if it means what you interpreted it as meaning, we really don't have nearly the gap that I think Abby was trying to address.
So, I guess should I put my hand up? I guess I should.
Well, we got you, Clem. Go ahead.
Okay, so I mean, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, I mean, the purpose of this is to prioritize or to, if you stack things up and we got to do work to get these in, you'd like to have the ones that are statistically important in some sense. So I think majority is way too strong, but an important share or something like that. Because, you know, we're going to have little people, you know, little bitty things fighting against things which will be beneficial to many more. So I think we need something like this, but I don't think anything is going to be applied, hardly anything will apply to a majority of patients or a majority of events, but somehow to prioritize quantifiable stuff, you know. Everybody should get a hemoglobin A1C. Everybody should get a pro-BNP. You know, that's an extreme example, you know, but... So I think the word majority is wrong, but I think we should emphasize some kind of numerosity, you know, an important share or something like that might be a better word.
I think Abby's recommendation is good, and in the next meeting we'll come back with those included here in a red line so that you can see on both of them. I've also heard that, you know, what is our responsibility for the general October 22 release? You know, what recommendations do we have generally for that process? I think that's a good question that Stephen and Grace brought up. And also, Clem, that gets to you for your bias for repurpose. In 2022, if the floodgates open, what can we repurpose? How do we get there faster? So I think those are good suggestions.
So I wanted to comment on the structure versus non-structure. And I don't think we can survive electronics messaging without some structure. You know, there's no date. You know, just, you know, it'll be a total mess. So I don't think we mean to say there'll be no structure, but there won't be much internal structure. Typically, I mean, it's free text versus structure, but it's nice to know the name of the test and to know the date it was done. I mean, in fact, and the patient, really important to know who the patient is on it so you can put it in the right place. So I think we should be careful about treating them as binary differences, that they're sort of a continuum. But most of them, we got to have some structure. You can't deliver it to an appropriate place.
Yeah, I think, are we running out of time? I'm just...
No, we're good.
Okay. So I think you're right, Clem. There has to be some structure, and there is a balance to all of this. That is certain. To Han's point earlier, having a visual representation will help us to see where priorities trump maturity, or maturity trumps priority, or stakeholders even trump both, or an event trumps both. And I guess I shouldn't be using that word in this administration, sorry. But yeah, thank you. I think these are really great comments to consider. And so we will go back and revise these and make general recommendations that we've noted today. Stephen, is there more discussion you'd like to take on?
Hans made a good point in the chat that this gap between USPDI and all EHI included in the designated record set, is a gap that the industry is going to really have to struggle with. And we've raised this point with ONC, and Mike Lipinski is going to join us next week on our meeting to address just that. So I think if people have very specific perspectives on that issue or comments, I see we lost Jim Jurgis. I was going to call him out on this, but I think anybody who wants to engage with that, I think we're going to do that next week. I would like to go up again to the orange slide, and thank you, Katie and team, for being so flexible here. But again, I want to remind everyone that the top four are existing, the bottom four are new suggestions. And we tried to kind of capture all of our discussion into equity, underserved, public health, and national imperatives. I think that some of these prioritization issues will morph over time. I mean, certainly the last one, who knows what the hot topic will be 12 or 24 months from now. It could be about seniors, it could be about newborns, it could be about, something that is not, on the top of the conversation today. So I think these are designed to be somewhat flexible, but we're really interested in wordsmithing. I mean, truly, when we bring these suggestions to HITACH, we want to make sure that we're reflecting the thoughts of this group. So one thing, that I'll throw out as a discussion point is in the underserved row. Are we talking about underserved stakeholders, as is suggested in the left-hand column, or are we talking about simply the data underserved, as is suggested in the right-hand column? Are we talking about the those who are underserved by services, those who are underserved by, what do we mean by underserved? And then, of course, as we were saying earlier, what do we mean by data underserved? I think we need to clarify that a bit more on this document. Grace, your arm's up.
I have a question now. I think that this chart is fantastic and it captures so many discussion points from so many members. I wanted to ask if there was a grading system here and you met all of these categories, you would get 8 points, but something else would get 2 points. So now is there an additional supplemental grid here for leveling depending on where an item may land according to this framework?
Well, I think, I'll try to speak for Al. I mean, I think on the top four, the thought was that these were ands, that the things that they included in their draft V2, they felt, I believe, addressed all four of those. When I first sort of crafted this, and Leslie's taken it and run with it, I suggested that the bottom four were more ors. That you sort of need all the things in the top, just practically, in order for things to move forward into USCDI. And that the things in the bottom really give the focus. And again, we've discussed this in using various metaphors. I've used the metaphor of the asterisk. Within level two, there's all kinds of stuff. Within level one, there's all kinds of stuff. Where is the focus going to be? And I think the idea here is that meeting one or more of the lower four items here is going to give a data class or element, you know, that asterisk that's going to say, wow, we should really focus on this. You know, whether you want 1, 2, 3, 4 asterisks, I mean, I don't know. I mean, at a certain point, it does, you know, you spend more time doing the leveling or the prioritizing than you do actually getting the work done. I think the point here is we want to identify those things that really need extra focus. You tell us, what do you think the best way to approach that is?
I think it's a great point. I think I'd like to actually run through a few examples and see what it looks like as you work through it, almost like a mock prioritization. I think that's the way we're really going to uncover it, because my initial reaction was that the bottom four elements would help something carry more weight and would be very essential and could tie into whatever the next task force's major challenge is, whether it's the data or underserved stakeholder groups, is it addressing post-COVID-19 long hauler syndromes or whatever the charge may be, those four could be the bonus points and really push something ahead of other classes or elements. But I guess we need to do a mock workup.
Yeah. And it could be something, even as if you go back to the blue slide, we've been giving these guys color. it could be something that an item comes in and it has maturity of current level 1, current use 2, stakeholders impacted 1, and then priority level meets all of those bottom four priorities. So all of a sudden we say, oh, we need to move that further into level 2 and maybe into USCDI. And to Hans' point, if we could depict that with a graph, maybe a quadrant of where those things fit, it might be something that, if designed visually, we could get it done quickly and have a way to have a litmus test, basically, on this. But any suggestions for process would be encouraged. Dan, do you have a suggestion?
I think so. So I wanted to come back to your earlier question about the involvement or our recommendation for the involvement of the task force and or its next constitution or some other body like it. And I believe that would be extremely helpful. Clearly, making judgments around these various dimensions requires having a lot of different perspectives. And it's very hard for a group, any group, but a smaller group to really have a well-informed opinion. I think the diversity of perspectives that a group like this brings is extremely important to that. My question was whether your proposition included this prioritization axis as well as the overall leveling axis, meaning the sort of maturity criteria as well as this prioritization criteria. Was that the intent when you were asking about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I support it in both cases.
Okay, good deal. Any other comments or things we've left out of trying to gather all of your comments and interviews and put it in this grid was a good challenge for us. And we want to make sure it's right. And as Stephen's point, back on the orange slide, wordsmithing is welcome. And so you've all received this information. Please feel free to think about this, send suggestions back to us. I think that this, we have attempted to meet all of these. I've captured where I don't think we have from each of you. Are there other comments or considerations from the group, Stephen, that you'd like to bring up for discussion as well?
Well, so I threw out a specific addition, if you will, suggesting that the top four lines here are all ands, and that the bottom four are sort of additions, that they get you extra credit, if you will. And I don't know whether, you know, meeting two of the bottom four or all four of the bottom four gets you even more extra credit. Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's going to be up to ONC, but I think I'm just curious, does anyone disagree with that sort of sense that the top four that, you know, from ONC's initial work really, you know, probably need to be met for something to reasonably be added to a version next.
Mark?
Thanks. As I said earlier, I don't disagree with the importance of maturity. I come back to the experience I had and I tried to share from the Advanced Health Models and Meaningful Use Work Group, where nothing was a minimum, but you looked at things sort of across the different criteria. So to your comment, Stephen, should all of the top four be an and? I see the importance of them, but when we get to the bottom four, we talk about some national needs, health equity, where we might want that to drive more effort around maturity. I personally lean more towards that balancing, considering the totality of the circumstances in coming up with a recommendation, than to say, because you didn't meet the first four, you're out of consideration. It's a gray area. And you've heard it from me. I mean, I've shared this idea before, so I don't want to belabor it. But that's my thought. Thanks.
Well, I think your point is particularly well taken when you look at the second row, aligned with certification and or CMS initiatives. I mean, there's going to be stuff that's rare, you know, some underserved group that may well not align with ONC certification or CMS initiatives, right? That yet should be considered as a high priority and perhaps move forward. So I think you've convinced me to think deeper. So I don't know that one should be an absolute requirement. I mean, it seems like addressing significant gaps in USCDI current version, that's sort of a no-brainer, right? I mean, the only reason you're bringing something forward is because it's felt to address an existing gap, right? The whole issue of modesty with regards to the work that needs to go into it by the standards community, by the vendors, by the users, there again, I mean, it's hard to argue with that modesty, because if you ask too much, it's just not going to succeed, right? I mean, if you say, okay, vendors, you have to drop everything and do just this because it's so, you know, immodest, that just seems unrealistic. So it kind of seems like, you know, three and four are also kind of required. So, you know, we can certainly shuffle these. We could have some ands and some ors, or as you say, you could just sort of throw caution to the wind and give 1 point to each and see what comes out as an eight. But I, you know, I worry that if you do that, then you might miss something really important, right? So I think it's probably worth, you know, doing the work to think about ands and ors, but maybe not. In the end, ONC is going to do what they want, right?
Hans, what's your comment?
I want to latch on to where Mark was going, that to look a little bit more at the totality. And I think it's perhaps a question of in what time in the process are we doing that. If we are early on, quote unquote, now, that we say we have a candidate list and this is the selection of it and we can get a good insight, that can help us with identify perhaps some areas that in the next year, 9-12 months leading up before version 3 is finalized, whatever the timeline is, that we indeed can provide the right signal to say we really want the industry to focus on the prepping everything that you need to be ready, so that by the time we now get to the final recommendation, what goes into V3, which is not now, but it's until later, that we say, has it met everything? Is it now up to all the ends that we need before it really gets into V3? Versus now, at this point in time, they are a little bit more the ors that can help identify which are high priority but are lower on maturity of standards. Can we help move them along? So I think it depends on where we are in the phase, in the progression, whether these are ends and ors, and how we look at that. So right now, I would look at them much more as ors. A year from now, I would look at a couple of them as ends or not put them in because they're not far enough along.
I think you make a really good point, Hans, which is that this The original list that this came from was really designed for prioritizing from V2 to be included in the next draft. And now what we are saying, and what both HL7 and ONC have encouraged us to look at, is how to identify priority classes and elements, even when they are lower down, at the comment and level one levels. So I think the use of this prioritization schema is going to be different if you're talking about prioritizing within level two, as opposed to identifying priority items that are lower down in the process.
Matt has a comment, and then I'd like to offer a proposal. Matt?
Yeah, no. Hey, thanks. This is a great discussion, and yeah, we're still pretty much in the first round of, this whole process, right? So definitely appreciate any of the comments on here. And we've mentioned in our, I put the link in the chat, but, we mentioned in our standards bulletin, there could be refinements and changes based on the submissions received, the high priority target areas, and any other potential factors that come in that may update our criteria for how we decide what goes into, the next version. And this is great. What I see on the screen right now, this is, looks good, at first to me. I think it's at the end of the day, the goal is, hopefully it seems obvious that it should be included in US CDI version 2, right? Or 3 or 4, it's getting pushed so far along that it just makes it obvious. But I appreciate the discussion, and like back to the use cases section where we're talking about events, something like the pandemic could help push that level 2, because there's just becomes a use case where more folks or stakeholders it affects. But did just want to mention that you're going through this process because we may update what it looks like to get into version 3 and even version 4, because we don't know what's happening next year or the year after. I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Matt. Thank you. I'd like to throw this out. We talk about roadmap and we talk about our leveling. Would it be worth considering a recommendation that a level, the comment level 1 and level 2, reflects a horizon, a timeline? So the industry can start seeing if something is a level 2, that's within a 24-month horizon. If something's a level 1, that's within a 3-year horizon, and a comment level is to be determined. That would take the place of a formal roadmap and still provide some vision into future based upon existing process. And I'm just throwing this out. Just love to hear comments. Would that be helpful? Okay, no. That's okay too. All right, Stephen, do you have any comments?
No, I really appreciate this discussion. Again, I think what we are asking for is specific recommendations of the language in this chart, as well as any sort of the may, must, and or aspects of this. I think that keeping this flexible so that it could apply, whether you're talking about prioritizing something at any of the levels, is a good idea. And I think trusting and perhaps items, I don't know. Well, again, I think 1 is a no-brainer. So kind of like 3 and 4, it seems to me those are, inherently going to be included when they're making decisions about what goes into draft version next. But again, we'd really like your specific input so that we can prepare kind of a set of redline proposals to come forward next week. Again, if we finish our work early, we can take a couple of weeks off, which would be just fine with me. I don't get any pride out of meeting every week, but I want to make sure that we collect the ideas that are out there to prepare our presentation to HITACH. I asked a question in the chat. Grace, I think, is working on it in text, but maybe Abby, you can chime in. You both suggested doing some testing, and I think that was sort of a desktop exercise that you're describing to kind of think through some things and how these would apply. Do you think that's work that you might be able to get to in the next week or two to inform our discussion, or is that more of a longer term process?
Stephen, it's Grace. Happy to take a stab at it. I guess where I would probably need support is really understanding the maturity aspects of this. That's not my area of expertise. So I think running some of the things that are maybe comment level one, level two through draft prioritization. However, I would support maybe with the criteria for leveling and maturity.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And it also speaks to, I think, what Hans was saying. You know, it would be ideal if resources were not a constraint for every submitted item to be scored on the website, you know, as opposed to just leveled. You know, that if ONC could say, you know, we put it in this level because, you know, it met this, didn't meet that, et cetera, because I think that would support the community in responding. To Grace's points earlier, you know, if somebody can get in there and go, no, I mean, you said this was in limited test environments or pilots, but no, there's actually much more than that. And I think there was an assumption on ONC's part that the community would just sort of do that naturally to sort of advocate for items that were at lower levels. But I do think, and Matt, perhaps you can, you know, work with the team a little bit to think about whether that's something that ONC might be willing to do in the next cycle of analysis to sort of put in the why of the leveling for the items. The other thing that I and thank you, Abby and Grace, for offering to go through your exercise, as you said. The other, and we can prepare the public comment slide too while I'm finishing up this thought. Unless I lost the thought, which I did. So why don't I go to public comments?
Okay. Operator, can you open the line?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for those of you who've offered to actually work through some examples. It'd be great if people had a chance to do that this week and come back with some feedback. I really do think we've made substantial progress today in developing our shared understanding. I think that we're going to be able to come back with some, on the blue slide, I don't know if we need red lines so much as perhaps we need, you know, just a footnote. I think Mark's interpretation of majority of patients, providers, or events requiring its use is really very informative, if we can all agree to that. And I think we'll have a chance to talk with Mike Lipinski about that next week to clarify whether we need Abby's additional language there or if we just need that shared understanding on the blue slide. And then, as we've said repeatedly, the orange slide, I think there's a lot of opportunities for people to make specific suggestions. Please just send those to me and Leslie, ideally this week, so that we have a chance to think about those
I actually, Leslie is going to be doing most of the heavy lifting this week because I've got a daughter getting married, so I'm going to be a little out of pocket for a while. But again, really, really appreciate people, you know, digging in and offering specific suggestions. A number of folks on the task force have been really quiet, both today and in the past. You know, Denise, you've been quiet. John, Ken, Ricky, we haven't, Cheryl, I don't think we heard much from you, but we haven't heard from a number of you. Anybody, you know, want to provide some input here? Raise your hand.
This is Denise. I don't have anything to add.
Great. Thank you, Denise. John, your hand was up momentarily. Was that a mistake? Okay. Great. Well,
we
again,
heard from
we
Cheryl
really...
earlier, so that was great.
Yes.
We did hear from Cheryl earlier, and so all this silence means agreement, right?
Right.
Great. And Denise, from your perspective as HITECH co-chair, I mean, you're comfortable with our plan to come back on the 9th, probably. Getting our thoughts together, you know, certainly no later than our meeting on the 1st of June, which is really, you know, only 4 weeks out. Again, I don't think we need 4 more meetings to nail this. You know, we'll see how long the conversation with Mike takes next time. Al should be back next week and should be able to contribute as well. But I think if we have some solid red lines, we might be able to pause at that point, and then Leslie and I can put together a presentation with the help of the ONC team, maybe have one more meeting to review that together before we make that presentation. And then after that, we can come back together and scope out what we're going to do for the third phase of our work. The other option, of course, would be to go try to tackle task 2A before our June presentation, so that we could get task 2 completely out of the way. 2A, of course, is recommendations for either technical or content changes to the OnDeck mm-hmm. system. I put in the chat today the link to the prep sheet, which really has the questions and how they're phrased. So if people are enthusiastic about that. I know, Grace, you made some comments about, you know, that some people are going to need some explanation, a primer, some hand-holding, some support, whatever form that takes. But if there are actual changes to the system itself, either how it works technically or what the questions are, perhaps we would want to tackle those this month and include them in our suggestions in June. So that brings us to the top of the hour. Anything else, Leslie?
No, I think that's good. Thank you, everyone, for your help.
We will see you next week. Thank you all so much.
Cheers.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.